King Radio Network at ParanormalKing.com.
Welcome to the Paranormal News Insider for the week of August 13th, 2019. And this is officially episode number 404. That's not a good luck number on the internet, but hopefully it is here for the show tonight. And this is your host, Dr. Brian D. Parsons. And we are live on the Paranormal King Radio Network at ParanormalKing.com. This week's news... Well, it's a little slow this week, but we do have some exciting news about the thylacine. The thylacine has been rediscovered. That's exciting. The Loch Ness Monster, I know a lot of people don't like hearing about him, but Nessie's big money. And Nessie, the Loch Ness Monster, continues to make waves, and sightings continue to flood in. We'll talk about the latest Loch Ness Monster sightings. UFO sightings roll in during a rocket launch. Is that a coincidence? I don't think so. And Ireland takes a proactive approach to UFO sightings, and another politician is promising disclosure for your votes. Maybe. We shall see. And also, we're going to talk about the party in the desert. They can't stop us all. All that tonight here on the Paranormal News Insider, your August 13th edition. And before I get into that, of course, I like to talk about paranormal conferences and conventions. You guys love this part. I know you do. And one of the biggest, largest amount of emails I get is about conferences and conventions. People are constantly asking me, hey, is there anything going on in this state or that state? I don't know, why don't you read the website? No, I don't say that. I think that. But I kindly respond with information. And I do get a lot of promoters asking me to promote their shows or to if I can mention that or if they could do different things with them. I appreciate all the emails, all the contact information I get from these promoters putting on these events. I know it's hard work. It is a lot of work. It's very stressful to do that. I put on my own conference last year, so I know what it's all about. And I've helped a lot of other people put events on over the years, in addition to being a speaker. So I get it. And that's why I like to give back to the paranormal community. And therefore, being one of the largest amounts of emails that I get next to hate mail, which is great. I mean, if you get hate mail, you know you're doing something right. At least people are listening. You know, that's always a positive. People hate me. That means at least they're listening. That's a positive. So there is a couple of events I want to give a shout out to. One event was one that was postponed earlier this year. It was supposed to take place, I think in July. It's the now known as the Summer Haunt Fest, but now it's the October Haunt Fest 2019. It's taking place on October 30th in Cayuga, Indiana at the Willow's Weep House. You couldn't get a better date. October 30th. That's a prime real estate day right there for any kind of paranormal conference or convention. Look up that event. It's on Facebook. So you can find the October Haunt Fest 2019. It's also, if you go to paranewsinsider.com, you can find that link to the event on the events page at paranewsinsider.com. Also, I don't know how I missed this one. I had an email sitting in my inbox for a couple of days. I don't know how I missed it. But the HillCon, taking place at the Haunted Hillview Manor, will have its annual event on September 21st in Newcastle, Pennsylvania. Hillview is a really interesting location. I've actually had the opportunity to investigate there in the past. It's actually probably, thinking about it, I think it was the last place I've gone to, one of the big places. It's really, really It's really nice. It's not dilapidated, run down, holes in the floor, wind blowing through broken windows type of place. It's actually really good. It's put together. It's pretty spooky. And we had a few things happen in there. The only thing I don't like about it is they have signs everywhere telling you what hauntings are supposed to happen where. I don't like that kind of thing. But, you know, it's built for entertainment, so I get that. As an investigator, I don't like that kind of stuff. But I get it. But it is an awesome place to investigate. If you ever get the chance to go to the Haunted Hillview Manor, go. It's an awesome location. Just watch out for the groundhogs. They will literally grab you and drag you into the holes. It's probably the scariest thing out there for me was the groundhogs. Haunted places don't scare me at all. As long as they don't catch a cold or eat the paint, I'm really not scared at these things. I've been doing this a long time. So anyway, check out the events tab on ParanewsInsider.com and check out all these events, including the two that I mentioned, HillCon on September 21st, as well as the October Haunt Fest 2019, October 30th in Cayuga, Indiana. That's on the, if I remember correctly, it's on the border of Indiana on the Illinois side. Pretty cool. I love Indiana. Also, what do we got going this weekend? Anything? Nothing? Nothing. Nothing in the ghost field that I see. I'm sure there's something somewhere. I just didn't get to it. We got the 2019 Ohio MUFON Conference in Belleville, Ohio, coming up this weekend, this Saturday, actually, and I won't be there. I've got to work, or I would be there, but we also have the Oregon Bigfoot Festival 2019 in Troutdale, Oregon. Actually, I'd rather go to that. Always wanted to go to the Oregon Bigfoot Festival. I've been to MUFON conferences before, but never the Oregon Bigfoot Festival. Sounds exciting. Plenty of events left, especially in the cryptid field. I see plenty on the calendar. A few more here in August, and the Mothman Festival in September, and another Bigfoot Festival in North Carolina. There's stuff going on all over the place. We still got one here in Toledo in October for Bigfoot Conference. So there's just all kinds of stuff. ParanewsInsider.com. Click on the events tab there at the top and find a place near you. Just go. If you're interested in this stuff, you're listening to me babble about the news for an hour every week, the least you could do is go and meet and hang out with other like-minded people at these paranormal conferences and conventions. You're going to learn a lot from these things. Meeting people is always fun, especially other like-minded people. You're going to meet authors. You're going to meet investigators and other people that are just out there having, maybe things happening to them, and maybe you can learn from them or what not. Let's see. Eric Altman I don't think he's throwing it, he's doing it, but the Western Pennsylvania Conference on the Unexplained, he's going to be there at that event on November 9th and 10th in Greensburg, Pennsylvania. And I was at a similar, I don't know if it's the same run of the event, but I was at a similar unexplained conference in Western Pennsylvania off and on for a couple of years. Really interesting stuff when it's just weird stuff, not just ghost stuff and cryptid stuff and UFO stuff. When people start talking about wacky weather and weird other phenomena, I think it's really interesting because you don't see too much of that. But this one seems to be a little bit more grounded in just paranormal stuff, but Eric is an excellent presenter, and if you ever get the chance to see Eric Altman present, he's awesome. But also at that event, Ed Kellerman, Nick Redfern, and Ron Murphy. That is a lineup. That's a dangerous lineup. Ron Murphy, an excellent presenter in and of himself. He's an excellent author and even more excellenter researcher. Something like that, but he's an excellent researcher. His books, just all of them, are just excellent. I can't get enough of his books. They're also going to be showing a movie, Momo, the Missouri Monster, from Seth Breedlove. Also, Invasion on Chestnut Ridge. Highly recommend that. Also by Seth Breedlove. And A Wish for Giants from Aaron Dunbar. Still not seen that movie. I had a couple of chances. And also, the Mountain Monsters are going to be there. Huckleberry, Jeff, Willie, Buck, and Wild Bill. If you like those guys. I'm not a huge fan of the show. Yeah, but kids love these guys. My goodness. It's like teenagers meeting the Beatles in the 60s. These kids were crazy seeing these guys. But anyway, I don't know if I'll be able to make that one or not. We'll see. I got a weird tight schedule in the next couple of months. Anyway, let's get to the news. That's what y'all paid for, right? Wait, you didn't pay for that. This is free, I hope, for some of you guys. Maybe somebody paid for a podcast. I don't know. Anyway, cryptid news this week, and I teased about this at the beginning of the show. Tasmanian tiger rediscovered. Well, it's a little bit of a far-fetched thing, but that's what we do in the news. We kind of give you these teasers to get you to come in and listen. You're like, oh my gosh, this is breaking news. Tasmanian tiger rediscovered. Well, kind of. It's actually incredible new footage of a Tasmanian tiger, which has been discovered. It sounds exciting. It sounds like, oh, wow, new stuff. Well, not really. It's actually a very sad moment. I was all excited when I first read this story, and then I watched the video. And it kind of breaks your heart at the last, you know, when the last few seconds when you're watching this thing. So the last known thylacine or Tasmanian tiger died in the Hobart Zoo back in 1936. It was accidentally locked out of its enclosure, and it died of exposure. Biologist David Flea was able to film the carnivorous marsupial a number of times while it roamed an enclosure. While at the Hobart Zoo, sure, you've probably seen this footage, black and white footage of the Tasmanian tiger kind of pacing back and forth. There's different versions of that film, and I've seen pretty much anything and everything that's ever been published on video of the Tasmanian tiger, all black and white. But one of these films, one of the more popular ones, has recently appeared on Reddit and has been colorized for the first time. I mean, thanks, Ted Turner. We recently saw a new high-definition version of the Patterson-Gimlin film, which was pretty exciting, you know, to see Bigfoot in an all-new and exciting way. But this new version of an old film is, to me, is just as exciting, yet very sad at the same time, as we're looking at potentially the last living thylacine known in existence. I mean, it's sad to think that's it. After that, the next ones might be genetically modified, maybe. Now, this thylacine was known as Benjamin. And shortly before its death, and pretty much the demise of the entire species, we get that last little glimpse of this poor Tasmanian tiger. So the thylacine still remains, and I'm hopeful. I carry it near and dear to my heart. As one of the many hopeful animals that will purportedly, hopefully, be discovered. And it's one that's purportedly seen by residents, but is yet to have been confirmed by scientists or have any kind of conclusive evidence, despite a lot of videos, photographs, and a lot of wild claims of this creature running around the outback and outback of people's patios and things. Out in open fields, it's been a lot of films showed up in the last few years, but unfortunately, nothing conclusive. And while it's extremely unlikely these sightings will lead to the rediscovery of this once thriving creature, I mean, in all honesty, this is why I really hope for this thing to get rediscovered or, you know, prove scientists wrong, because scientists are saying there's no way, it's impossible. The likelihood is slim to none. They had odds released years ago that said, you know, a couple million to one that this thing, there's no way it would ever come back. So I hope they prove them wrong. I really do. You know, I may be skeptical on the show quite a bit, and we're going to have a lot of that stories tonight. But, you know, I am hopeful that sometimes that these things do prove people wrong. They do pop up. And if it did pop up, it would be, I think, would be the greatest animal discovery of the 21st century, just like the coelacanth was pretty much the greatest animal discovery of the 20th century. But we'll hold out. We'll see. And I mean, there are some videos and some purported photographs, but nothing is conclusive. I mean, it's really hard to tell. I mean, pictures only prove part of the story. And there's a few floating around out there that have actually been retouched and are fake. They're CGI stuff. So you got to be careful of photos and videos, especially the thylacine. It's actually a pretty big business. Just kind of like UFO stuff here in the United States and Bigfoot videos. People make money off of this stuff, these stories. And unfortunately, same thing with these thylacine videos. People are making money off of that stuff. And our favorite water creature of the show, of the Paranormal News Insider, the Loch Ness Monster. It continues to make waves. Yes, pun intended. I initially elected not to cover this story, but I was really surprised to see it surface again. Yes, the puns continue to roll in. I can hear Dita laughing from here. I can. Back on June 27th, a boat skipper, I don't know if his name was Gilligan. No, his name wasn't Gilligan. It was Mike Bell. A boat skipper on Loch Ness got a sonar image of what he claims is a 25-foot-long object in the water. The skipper, again, Mike Bell, was taking a bunch of tourists out on the loch when the image suddenly appeared on his depth finder. His depth finder. I don't know what you thought you heard. Bell has been operating the boat, appropriately named the Nessie Hunter, for about a year, and this is the first time he has ever seen an object this large on his sonar. His father had also skippered the same boat for a number of years, yet has never seen anything like it either. The object is about 115 feet down and was thought to be anywhere from 10 to 25 feet long. When they attempted to get further readings, the object was gone. Disappeared into thin water, I guess. Nothing natural in Loch Ness is anywhere near 25 feet long, and fish do not swim in schools in the loch, which would eliminate that possibility. That's always the one that I reach for, but they say no. However, there are other plausible explanations that include false sonar images or hitting multiple objects at the right angle, which these objects would basically be fish, to give the appearance of one giant object. However, these false sightings like that are probably extremely rare, the same as finding a 25-foot creature. So does this mean the sonar image is of the Loch Ness Monster? Not necessarily, but we'll probably never know what it was, or more appropriately, basically, what caused the image. So we have no idea what it was, and we never will. And it's, I shouldn't say probably never know what it was. Again, more appropriately, what caused the image to be seen. So it could be a trick of the eye. It could be just misperception. It's not the greatest looking depth finder photograph I've ever seen. But it's just one of the pieces of evidence that just continues to pile up, but unfortunately it doesn't really prove anything. And this isn't the first time we've seen sonar images. I think there was one last year, and there was a really big one four or five years ago. And it's every few years there's a really cool picture or sonar image of something that looks like a flipper or part of the body popping up. But again, none of these really prove it. Even if you add them all together, it doesn't create any more evidence toward that possibility of the Loch Ness Monster's existence. But we can always hope. I mean, I'd love to see, proof of Nessie. But I think you have much better luck with the thylacine, to be honest with you, than the Loch Ness Monster. And speaking of the Loch Ness Monster, glad you asked. thousands of people flock to Loch Ness in Scotland, and of course to hopefully find Nessie or to spot it. It's the pastime. It's what you do when you're in the United Kingdom. I guess everyone goes to Northern Scotland. And as I've talked about here on the show, and you've probably read in news reports, it's become quite the money-generating thing for the region. But do you really have to travel all the way to Northern Scotland to find the Loch Ness Monster? Well, the 14th official sighting of the year has happened last Wednesday, when Michael Ewan watched a strange object move across Urquhart Bay. So where was Michael? Well, he wasn't at Loch Ness, and he wasn't even in Scotland. Heck, he wasn't even in the United Kingdom. He was watching a live webcam while in Hong Kong. That's China, right? Hong Kong, 6,000 miles away. That's kind of sad when you think about it. Here's a guy watching on a live webcam, and he sees something. And there's people that are there and didn't even see it. That's embarrassing. You know, it happens in the ghost field all the time. People see evidence or explain evidence. They weren't even there. They figure it out. Of course, the people that took the evidence or took the video will completely deny it, of course. But so far, there's no rational explanation for what was in the video. It looks like something moving or swimming. It's hard to tell because it's kind of choppy video. You can't really make out any kind of details of what it is. It's a creature. It's a log. It's a boat. It could be a lawnmower for all we know. I don't know how that would happen, but I just threw that out there. No rational explanation for what was seen in the video. But my gut tells me nobody cares. And nobody will dare try to explain it away either. Surprised it hasn't been an official sighting at this point. I'm sure it might be. Well, it is. I just said that. 14th. Guy wasn't even there. I think that's the first time anyone from Japan has seen the Loch Ness Monster. I'm surprised that they haven't had people come out from, I don't know. Maybe they have. But according to the keeper of the Loch Ness sightings, that's the first time that a person from Japan has seen the Loch Ness Monster. And I think that's probably the furthest away that anyone's ever seen one or had one sighting. Yeah, but again, I don't think anybody cares. They're not going to explain it away. Come on. There's 41,000 reasons why no one would dare, or should I say 41,000 pounds, or should I say pounds sterling, which would translate to, let me see, let me take my sock off here. 49,500,000 US dollars generated yearly on average for income to the region just for tourism specifically geared toward the Loch Ness Monster. 49,500,000 just to look for the Loch Ness Monster. There's tons of boats in the Loch. Nobody cares about the other wildlife. Who cares? Nobody cares about the beautiful scenery. Nobody cares about the lush green hills, the castles, the history, the funny hats, the kilts. I like the kilts. I'd rock a kilt. Probably get in trouble for wearing one. But, 49 million U.S. dollars generated yearly on average just for tourism for the Loch Ness Monster. Now, Nessie had 15 official sightings last year, and so we're looking to break that, and I think it's going to happen. Stay tuned for more Loch Ness Monster sightings. This could just be the Loch Ness Monster show. I think I'm going to do that. We're going to have an hour Loch Ness Monster show starting next week. What do you say? Yeah, you're right. Never mind. That's a bad idea. We shall see. And, you know, just a few years ago, the Loch Ness Monster was thought to be dead or thought to have moved away because there were no sightings, And all of a sudden, they don't stop. But then again, if you look at the, dare I say, evidence for these Loch Ness Monster sightings, and it's pretty sketchy, let's be honest. Photographs that are taken from, it looks like, 5 miles away. I mean, I've seen more detail on the moon's surface with an instant camera than I have some of these Loch Ness Monster sightings. Evidence, if you want to call it evidence. That's pretty loose thing to call it evidence. Anyway, poor Loch Ness Monster. We'll see. We'll see. I'm sure there'll be another sighting or two or four by next week. But we are going to migrate from Scotland to Florida and UFO news. So UFO news this week. One would think that Florida residents would be pretty familiar with seeing rocket launches in the early morning. I mean, how many times have I talked about this? I could tell you seven. Talked about it at least seven times. About rocket launches in Florida being confused for UFO sightings. People lost their minds a few years ago. I think it was in December. People freaked out. But reports came in about a strange-looking sight in the sky last Thursday morning. Social media was busy with reports of a strange light in the sky, which turned out to be an Atlas V rocket launched from the Kennedy Space Center early Thursday morning. Go figure. Well, the result was the now familiar white loop with a tail in the sky. We've seen those images quite a few times over the years, not just here, but in other countries around the globe. Is the Earth flat? I don't know. I've never seen the curve. Granted, this wasn't a huge viral scare, as it does seem that many were beginning to get used to this, I thought. But there's still people emailing this in or calling the local news. But it's not as a big deal. It's not as viral as it used to be, where people were flipping out. I think it was a Friday morning, too, before. So yeah, it's pretty close. Although, of course, there are a few UFO YouTube channels trying to make a bigger deal about this than normal. You know who you are. You're the ones that I ignore. I don't want to talk about with your garbage videos that you're stealing from people's vacation videos and inserting UFOs into them and lying about backstories. You know who you are, and I don't talk about you anymore. Many viewers did contact Local 10 News to report a UFO as the rocket lifted off at 6:13 a.m. local time. Although the rocket launches are announced, they may still come as a surprise to many who see these bright, wispy tails in the sky in the early morning commute. But again, one would think that they would be used to these things by now. See, I got a bunch of questions in the chat room. Let's see, I already moved on from cryptozoology, but any alligators or sharks this week? I've not heard any alligator stories. I hope we do before it gets too cold. I want one more good alligator story to talk about. That way maybe it'll make the top 10. Forget Chicago. I don't want another Chicago. What about like Buffalo or New York City? That's too cold. You're right. It's too cold. Ogopogo. As far as I know, he's still hiding out. And a movie about Nessie. I thought there was a movie about Nessie. Wasn't there a movie about the Loch Ness Monster? I thought there. I could have swore there was. I'm not sure. I'm sure somebody's got one. Probably in the United Kingdom. A movie about the Loch Ness Monster. I don't know. I've never seen one. Nessie and Me, is that a real movie? Probably not. I know there's a movie, there was a Loch Ness, I think it's called Loch Ness, is actually a name of a movie. Wasn't Water Horse, wasn't it based on Loch Ness? I forget, I don't remember. I remember that movie, but I wasn't sure if that was a Loch Ness monster. And did Israel go to the moon yet? That's another question. I don't think so. I know Japan just went, the fourth country. Good grief. Are we going to start building hotels up there? I don't know. Anyway, back to UFO news. And so we just talked about Florida misinterpreting rocket launches once again. Now, Ireland, I found this to be pretty interesting. Not normally the kind of story that I would talk about, but I found it very, very interesting. And I don't know why, but I'm putting it in the UFO section. What's my show? I guess I can do it if I want. Astronomy Ireland is taking an interesting approach with alerting the public about a fairly rare celestial phenomena. Jupiter was very bright in the sky, and it was very near the moon for about 3 hours after sunset. They knew this was happening, and they pretty much put out this, I don't want to call it a warning, but a story about this, and it got a lot of viralness, I guess. But the event occurred last Friday, and it was only one night, and only 3 hours. But Astronomy Ireland states that they typically receive a number of phone calls pertaining to UFO sightings when Jupiter is seen this bright and or is near the moon like this. So they expected the worst, and they've alerted the public to the event, letting them know, hey, it's not going to be a UFO. This is going to be a planet. David Moore, the founder of the society, said, quote, "Anybody out walking the dog who glances up at the moon is going to see Jupiter right next to it. It wasn't there last night, and it won't be there tomorrow. It will look like an extremely bright star. It's 20 times brighter than the brightest star in the sky. We're spoiling the unidentified part now," unquote. So, technically, Jupiter appears bright in the sky pretty much about once a month, I think, on average. But it's pretty rare that it's going to be this close to the moon, which experts feel will draw a bit more attention to the movement of the planet, which may lead to concern or panic or the misinterpretation of UFO sightings. So obviously we know the moon is pretty quick in the sky because it's pretty close to us. You know, it's our closest celestial object. Crazy Tesla guy that. But anyway, it's the closest object to us. And, then you have Jupiter, then you have all these other stars out in the distance. So as things rotate in the sky, Jupiter will appear to move a little bit differently than everything else. So it gives the appearance that it's actually moving behind the moon. And people flip out about that a little bit. They get a little concerned. Let's just put it to you that way. So after the event occurred, honestly, I saw no stories about UFO sightings in Ireland. And Ireland, if you remember, was the site of a UFO sighting by multiple pilots back in November of last year. A couple of pilots felt, at the same time, a couple of pilots thought that this was a meteor. Yeah, Elon Musk. thought that this was a meteor, which ultimately was determined to be the actual answer based on a dash cam footage, which showed a meteor at the exact time of the incident. So that got written off. And, it's cool that science is actually trying to thwart that, but also getting attention for their society at the same time by talking about UFOs. I mean, UFOs is money now. Ask the To the Stars Academy about that. And, we were talking about that here in the United States as well, about Jupiter being near the moon, as well as Saturn being seen in the sky as well. But the big talk, as it is usually this time of the year, one of my favorite things, I'll leave that joke where it's at. I won't even get into that. But the Perseid meteor shower, which peaked last night and will also be pretty active tonight. But not here. It's cloudy right now. I don't think I'm going to see squat tonight. Viewers will be able to see about a dozen meteors per hour and as many as 50 or more at peak per hour. So last night was pretty active from what I hear. It was kind of cloudy off and on here. I didn't get to see anything. Granted, I wasn't out there very long. The meteor shower is basically caused as the Earth is moving through the debris field left over from a comet. And the comet for the Perseid meteor shower is the Swift-Tuttle comet. And it moves through this field the same time every year. That's why we can predict it. That's why we put it on a calendar for people to see and to know it's coming. And the debris strikes the atmosphere at about 60 miles up in the atmosphere. They look a lot closer than that, though, sometimes. And most meteors are caused by debris that's about the size of a grain of rice. We all have rice sitting around at home we can stare at, I'm sure. A fireball might be slightly bigger than that, but still not a cause for concern. I mean, it's not like the size of a Volkswagen Beetle or rabbit or whatever they make anymore. I think it's the, I don't know which one it is. The meteors will radiate from the Perseus constellation, which those of you that don't know all that stuff, it's pretty much in the northeast of the sky, but it really doesn't matter where you're looking. I just recommend looking pretty much straight up for the most part, or towards the darkest part of the sky, up. As high as you can. Pretty much usually right above you is pretty dark. But unfortunately, most of us deal with light pollution, which is any light in the sky, any light, city light that illuminates, that kind of interrupts the darkness pretty much. I can't go anywhere where I live and see pretty much total darkness. I got to drive to Pennsylvania pretty much, or southern Ohio. So light pollution, yeah, will make it pretty hard to see, if not impossible to see, a majority of the meteors, but you'll get lucky every now and again and see, you know, something bright streaking through. And the moon will also, unfortunately, play spoiler this year with the Perseids. It's going to be up pretty much most of the night, tonight as well. It was last night as well. And you also have to be careful. The eyes will sometimes play tricks with you, and you might think you see a shooting star. Your eyes will, as you're getting adjusted to the dark, your eyes kind of dart around, and as well as the mere distance of these stars. Your eyes really have nothing to kind of compare these little dots in the sky with. So as your eyes are trying to adjust, they'll bounce around. Your eyeballs will bounce around, believe it or not. And so these lights will appear to be bouncing around, but they're not. But when you do see a shooting star, you will definitely know it. It's a sight. And, you know, I always think that everybody's always seen one, but I've talked to plenty of people like, I've never seen a shooting star. Wow, really? That's scary. But I've seen hundreds of them. But then again, I spend a lot of time staring at the sky. That's something I should be admitting. I don't know. But anyway, the other weird thing that happens too sometimes, and I've had this happen, is some people claim to hear a shooting star. And I've actually a few times I've thought I've heard it. But science says that this is a trick of the mind. And these small pieces disintegrate so high up, and there's no sound. It's not, you know, they are, you know, disintegrating extremely fast, but they're extremely high up and they're extremely small. So noise is generated. You pretty much have to be on top of this thing to hear something. But I know I've seen a flash of light right over top of me, and I swear I heard a reflection of something off of a house that was close by. I was like, wow, I heard it. But it would have to be extremely large, and hopefully not like that one that was over... that Russian blast, was it 2014? That thing was loud. Broke windows and purportedly burned people's eyes and stuff. That's crazy. I don't want that to happen. Whew. And, you know, I put the Perseids here in the UFO section because, of course, the Perseids tend to coincide with UFO reports. As people report seeing flashes in the sky as well as moving objects. And it's still pretty warm out. It's still August. And people pretty much, this is one of the peak times of the year. That's August is generally one of the strongest months for UFO sightings. And I really personally think that's one of the causes is the Perseids, which is usually one of the stronger meteor events of the year. And also in the UFO arena tonight, Disclosure. That's, I don't know if that's a dirty word anymore. It's a word that's bounced around the UFO field for a number of years. The government knows things and they won't tell us. Personally, I've said it before, I don't think the government knows anything. That's the scarier thing. They don't know anything. There's nothing to tell us. They've got some reports. They've got some sightings. But they're about as confused as we are. That's what I think. But we've heard politicians make promises in the past that never quite came true about all this stuff, about disclosure, about bringing the truth out. I think Bill Clinton said that 2 years ago, and you know Jimmy Carter made the promise. I mean, you can go way back about years and years and years about some of these politicians. I know Hillary Clinton. Don't want to mention her name. The same could be said about politicians promising to release information if elected. This has been a fad, but broken promises, I think that's, you pretty much have to do that if you're a politician. Empty promises, broken promises, same thing. Presidential candidate Bernie Sanders is the latest in a long line of hopefuls who are pulling out this promise to tell all of the government secrets, all of the knowledge of unidentified flying objects, put it all on the table. Area 51, we got bodies, and not just UFOs, but also potentially information about, potentially about alien life. It's all there. It's going to put it all out there. A lot of people are taking this as a really serious statement, but was it? So Bernie Sanders appeared on the Joe Rogan Experience podcast last week, where he said he would divulge as much information as he could about what the U.S. government knew about UFOs, and not just as a campaign promise, because his wife, Jane, wants to know. Sanders said he will spill the beans if he gets elected, and he will also announce the information if he comes back on Rogan's show, if he becomes president. So the last, it was basically the last question, the podcast, Joe Rogan asked, quote, if you got into the office and you found out something about aliens, if you found out something about UFOs, would you let us know, unquote? And he got kind of a joking, laughing answer. So this wasn't part of an ongoing discussion or something really super serious. It was pretty much just spurred, I think, by the ongoing discussion, you know, between the Air Force probe into UFOs, as well as the popularity of this Storm Area 51 event. Despite how serious some websites are making this, the exchange was, you know, was at the end of the show, and they were laughing about this. This, I don't think this was super serious. It wasn't meant to be front page news on Disclosure. People are getting all worked up about that, though. Oh, Bernie's our man. Bernie's going to spill the beans for us. Yeah, don't get too excited. I really don't think they know as much as what we give them credit for knowing. Do they have reports? I'm sure they have reports. I'm sure they have purported evidence. I'm sure they have all kinds of statements. But alien bodies... Sorry, Matty Roberts. I don't think he does. I think Area 51 is pretty much just jets, I think, and leaking jet fuel in the ground and old blown-up nuclear bomb radioactive waste laying all over the place. But anyway, Storm Area 51 event, we were talking about that. In the chat room before the show, is it over? We talked about last week about how Facebook purportedly shut down the event, but it came back due to popular demand. No, actually, due to basically the press getting a hold of that story and publishing it. Facebook kind of backed off of that, which is kind of weird. Why would they wait that long? They should have shut it down when it became viral, right after the government said something about it. But Matty Roberts, the guy, the face, the man, the beard behind this Storm Area 51 event, he just won't quit. He won't stop at this. So he's the idea generator behind the Storm Area 51 event. The same guy who actually hid from reporters as he feared from retaliation from the FBI. He thought they were going to kick his door in and arrest him. Well, since then, he's taken on Mark Zuckerberg of Facebook and now plans on moving forward with a large outdoor 3-day camping and music event known as Alien Stock. I can hear the cheering from here. The festival officially was announced on Friday after weeks of speculation and hinting and probably behind the scenes some initial planning. Now, it claims to have some top artists who want to perform, but they can't announce who they are due to what the site says are festival radius clauses. I'm guessing that means because there's other stuff going on, maybe in Vegas. These people are performing there. I don't know what that means. When I see the phrase top artists, kind of makes me think of like Indiana Jones, like top scientists are working on this, sitting on a shelf. So top artists are probably any local band that will show up and has a sober guitarist. Through the site, they're currently taking donations so that they can provide an outlet for food and water. Staff for organizing the event, portable toilets, always recommended in the desert. You think there's a lot of places to go, but trust me, you don't want to pee in the desert. There's no trees to hide behind. I'm telling you, there's not. Security and emergency services. Have you ever squatted in the desert before? There's scorpions out there. As well as for a stage equipment, and of course, musical talent. There's a lot that goes into putting on any kind of event. You know, I kind of talked about that at the beginning of the show. But I don't think Maddie nor this production company that has stepped up to help has any idea what they're up against. I mean, this is a pretty big deal. Is there going to be 2 million people showing up? Probably not. Not even close. Probably only a fraction, if that. But still, putting on something like this, you're either going to do it or you're not going to do it. And the production company itself is called The Hidden Sound. The Hidden Sound. If you know anything about some of the stuff they're talking about, it has its roots in some of the inside humor that's shared on that Facebook site. And I know what's going on. I know what's going on, you guys. Planning a successful musical event in a normal setting, that could take about a year of planning and execution, getting all this stuff lined up and everything, but this one's basically done in less than 2 months. I mean, if you go back 2 months to when he kind of alluded to having this kind of thing, but the announcement was just last week. That's just a month and a week away. So Alien Stock certainly has a lot of free advertising. I mean, you can't pay for the kind of advertising that he's gotten through all the numerous news outlets, TV shows. This has been on CNN. They were talking about it on BBC News for like 2 hours. I mean, they've had shows about this crazy thing, this Storm Area 51 event. But, you know, how viral is this Alien Stock idea? Well, it's been picked up by just about everybody that's been covering the story. It's kind of lost a little bit of steam, but it's still there. And I mean, there's a list of millions of people who are still subscribed to this. So they're getting this information. But really and truly, the biggest thing about this whole entire thing is there's no way to know how many people are going to actually show up. There's no way to know. They're not taking money for tickets. They're just taking donations. How do you know how many people are going to show up? Is there going to be 1,000? Is there going to be 20? Is there going to be 20,000? They have no clue. They have no way to meter the number of people appearing. And that's not a good idea, especially when you have that much publicity towards this event. It creates a myriad of problems. So one of the stories I was reading talked about the closest hospital. The closest hospital and the emergency room from where they're going to put this event on is an hour and a half drive away if you're going 70 miles an hour from Rachel, Nevada. It's limited. I think there's only 6 rooms total, and there's extremely limited resources on site. Now, they're going to have people showing up. They're going to have EMTs there on site. But again, if there's thousands of people or they're overloaded with people, how are they going to help them all? I mean, okay, fine. Why would people get hurt? Well, it's a desert. It's heat. It's hot. People are going to run out of water. We'll talk about that in a second. It's not uncommon for temperatures to get in the mid-90s during the day and even in September. But the thing that people aren't really taking into consideration, I've seen actually people joking about this, like laughing like this is not going to happen. It's not uncommon for temperatures in September to drop below freezing. It's possible. It could hit the 30s. It's very, very possible. It's a little warmer than that right now, so who knows? And you know, could stay that way, but it could turn to where people are getting extremely cold at night. And if they're not prepared for that, yeah, that's scary. People are in tents. 30 degrees. If you're not prepared for that, it's not fun. I've been there, but I was prepared, and it's not fun. And then you have the heat during the day. And then you think about too many people jamming the site. There's a chance that this area could run out of resources. You know, as I've mentioned, there's no gas station in Rachel. Travelers are going to have to fill up prior to coming out there and hopefully have enough gas to get back. And if there's crowding, they're already talking about shutting down the road during the event and then making it one way all the way back. Into basically towards Vegas before they turn it back into a, you know, one lane each way kind of road. So they're talking about 2 lanes for miles, pretty much through the extraterrestrial highway till it turns, I forget the other freeway. But yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes that they're kind of, I don't want to say panicking, but there's a lot of major concern about this. So gas stations. If people are going out and filling up at these gas stations, these other gas stations could run out of fuel. And they could also run out of supplies. People are flying in. I've heard that most of these airlines are packed for that weekend, which is unheard of. Even, you know, when Journey is playing a residency in Vegas, there's still tickets available on flights. So for these flights to be sold out, and these people talking about going, they estimate, I've heard about 3,000 to 5,000. They estimated that between different motels and hotels in the area and different you know, campgrounds and things that are filling up and RV rentals and all these other things that are happening. They're estimating that many people. They don't know. There's really no way to tell exactly how many people are going to descend on this town. But if they do show up in that amount or higher, these gas stations are going to be wiped out of food. They're going to be wiped out of fuel. It's going to be chaos in the desert. And I don't think people really realize just how remote Rachel, Nevada really is. A lot of people have been there, but you know they drive out and they drive back. But when you're out there, there's nothing there. I mean, there's really nothing there. Of course, bringing dozens, if not hundreds, or even thousands of people together. Again, we don't know. There's minimal law enforcement. I don't know how many the county has, but it's really not that many. That's not a good recipe for safety either. Now, the county sheriff, the county's already spending thousands of dollars on this event, and they're diverting money away from other resources toward the event. So there's some money at stake here. and how many people will donate versus how many people will actually show up. Again, we don't know. It could be 20 or 30 people, but there's already the Little Ailey Inn is already sold out. The camping is sold out. All the little cottages they have around there are sold out. So right there, that's about 300 people, I think they estimate, just at that are staying there that weekend. That's not a lot. But again, there's other hotels and motels that are sold out all around that area. This could be in the thousands. And that's going to overwhelm things. And what's weird, too, is that so it sounds like they're going to plan on handing out food and water. But bringing in supplies, it's going to be expensive. And even running power out there is not going to be as easy as they think. I've heard comments about this on some websites that are talking about this from Nevada in this area, that they're going to run out of power. It could shut down the power grid. It's already going to shut down. They already know it's going to shut down what little cell phone coverage they have out there. Again, I would have highly recommended selling tickets, even if you weren't making people buy them. At least they had to purchase a ticket to show up, so that you have a general idea how many people are actually going to be there. I don't know how they're going to allow. I mean, it's a desert. It's wide open. It's not like you're going to have a building. You have a maximum occupancy. How many people are going to show up at the door? Is there a door? I don't think there's a door. Taking these random donations you have, again, no idea how many people are going to show up. Connie West of the Little Ailey Inn, the diner and motel there in Rachel, it's the only place to stay, pretty much the only place to eat, too, said it's had more than 1,800 missed calls in a three-day span for people trying to secure campsites or rooms at the tiny motel and the grounds, but they're pretty much full. Apparently, some websites are taking money for this event and selling tickets, but are not associated with the motel, the landowners, or the event. And, of course, the website for the Facebook event, is they're saying that the landowners are totally on board with this. But that's not exactly what I'm getting at. And I've seen a question in the chat room about a license for the event. Are they allowed to do this? Can they do this? I don't know. But the county seems like they already know what's happening. It's already coming into fruition. So you're not going to stop all these people from coming into town. Then, of course, let's talk about the elephant in the room. The inevitable group of people who will no doubt test the resources of Area 51 as the original event was all about. You know people are going to try to sneak in. People are going to be acting like idiots. They're going to try to storm the compound. They won't get far, guarantee you. They won't get far. And they probably don't even know where the barrier starts. There's not actually a gate. It's not like you see on TV. So they're probably not going to even know where anything is. And if this does happen, in all honesty, I sure would not want to be Maddie Roberts' lawyer. That is going to be a disaster. If someone accidentally crosses that line, we've talked about it here on the show before. You'll be pulled from your vehicle at gunpoint, ordered to lay face down on the ground until the sheriff arrives, which I've read is usually about an hour or so at minimum. So imagine laying face down in the desert for about an hour, hour and a half, with a gun pointed at the back of your head. Not something that I really want to do on my Friday afternoon or Saturday morning or Saturday night or pretty much ever. Then you'll be taken to the Lincoln County Jail, where your story is going to be investigated by the sheriff. At the minimum, the bare minimum, this is the minimum, you're going to get fined $650 for trespassing and pretty much banned from the area for life if they can do something like that. The upwards area for trespassing, if they find that you did it intentionally, so at the minimum, $650 if it was accidental. Sorry, I didn't know where the line was. And your story holds up, and your story is based on a lot of information that's gathered by, there's sensors in the road that can determine your speed. There's video all over the place, stuff you don't even see watching you, probably satellite stuff watching people. Who knows what they've got? It's a government facility. I'm sure they've got the highest of the high of tech watching you. The upwards area for trespassing, if you do it on purpose, is about $5,000 and 6 months in jail mandatory and a felony on your record. And I expect that this is going to be in effect for those attending this event or visiting that area that weekend. Unfortunately, even if you're not there for that event, because the sheriff is already aware of this underlying intention of the event, and I don't think tolerance is going to be given to anybody on this one. And again, while the Alien Stock website says the landowners are, quote, totally on board with the event, the town of Rachel, Nevada seems to take a different tone. They're not very happy about this. On the official town website for the September event, it reads in part, quote, with the social media attention this event is getting, we want to clarify a few points for those not familiar with the area. Other than the Little Ailey Inn, a small bar, restaurant, motel, there are no services in Rachel. There is no gas and no store. The inn is booked for that weekend. If you plan on attending the event, you must be experienced in camping, hiking, and surviving in a harsh desert environment and have a vehicle in good shape. You must be prepared to be completely on your own for food, gas, and water. We expect cell service and the internet to be offline. Credit card processing will not work, so bring cash. If you camp on public land, pick up all your trash. Expect daytime highs in the 80s and nighttime lows in the 40s. It is not uncommon to go below freezing at night in late September. The event will undoubtedly attract crooks. People say crooks anymore. Trying to capitalize on the chaos. Be on guard and always lock your vehicle and stay away from the residential part of Rachel. Most residents do not like where this event is going and will respond accordingly. And they also warn that a lot of websites are selling tickets, but these sites are not legitimate. The owners of the websites have no affiliation with the town or the event. And base security in the Lincoln County Sheriff's Department will be on high alert. Anyone trespassing in the restricted zone around Area 51 will be arrested. Do not go near the border and absolutely do not cross the line. And they kind of talk about marking the road. So there's some additional resources that they link to that talk about the dangers of hiking and camping. Again, snakes and scorpions, which I mentioned a couple of weeks ago. They love snuggling up to warm tents at night in the cold desert. They'll come inside if they can. And probably the biggest danger at night, other than the camo dudes, are cows. Yes, cows frequently wander all over the area, and despite the low amount of traffic on the roads, they're frequently hit by visitors to the area, especially in the evening and at night. I would not want to hit a cow. I hit a deer. That was bad enough. And again, they say that cell phone service will not be working due to the limited network in place, due to the remoteness of the area. And they say that even when a few dozen tourists are in the area, the network is already overrun. There is no AT&T or T-Mobile coverage at all in Rachel. And all of the major postpaid companies, of all of those, only Verizon has 4G coverage in some cities in the area. But most others and all other carriers offer only 2G or 3G coverage at best. At best. Not a good idea, and as I said, this could be a legal nightmare for Matty Roberts if things go awry. People are pretty much on their own out there. It's going to be chaos. I would have not had anything going on. I would have just let it die. It was fun while it lasted, but this is going to be it's going to be chaos. And I thought this story would fade away. I really did. But it continues. And we shall see if anything continues to pop up in the news over the course of the next few weeks. It's coming up. It's pretty fast. Let's see, we got 1, 2, 3, 5, just over 5 weeks. So just over a month away. That's pretty scary. So we'll see what happens. I don't think there's any pulling out now that you've announced an event, you're going to host this thing. You better put on a darn good show, because if people get out there and you disappoint them, that's going to be chaos. Lots of chaos. But we'll see what happens. We'll see how the cow crosses the road out there in Rachel, Nevada. But in the interim, I will see you very soon, actually next week. But for now, keep your eyes in the skies, your ears in the woods, the hair standing on the back of your neck, and always keep your mind slightly ajar. And above all else, don't stop believing. For the Paranormal News Insider, this is Dr. Brian D. Parsons reporting.